This is Pastor Ron Brammer. I want to welcome you to Rock Power Radio. Rock Power Radio is the radio ministry of Rock Power Church. We are a non-denominational, independent church. Our purpose in bringing you these programs is to encourage you to put God first in your life, to trust God, to seek first the kingdom of God, because the Bible says the just shall live by faith. This week we're looking at the topic of what to do when the storms of life come, or how to withstand a storm, how to come out victorious from the attacks of the enemy. Matthew chapter 7, Jesus told us how. He said, "Whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on a rock. And when the storms come, the winds beat, and the floods come, the house will not fall. He who hears my words and does not do them is like a man who built his house on the sand. And when the storms come, that house will fall." Same storm, same hearing, different doing. The doer of the word will stand. He who hears only will fall. And then we've given you the example of two kings from 2 Kings chapter 17 and 18. King Hoshea of Israel, who was a wicked king, and his house fell. The same storm came against the king of Judah, King Hezekiah, and his house stood. Now Hezekiah made some mistakes, but he repented and his house stood. The storms of life came to the house of Hoshea, and it doesn't take too much to figure out that when the storms of life came, that they're not going to stand because they're not doers of the word. 2 Kings 18:9 says, "Now it came to pass in the fourth year of King Hezekiah, which was the seventh year of Hoshea, the son of Elah, king of Israel, that Shael, Manasseh, king of Assyria, came up against Samaria," that's the capital of Israel, "and besieged them. At the end of 3 years, they took it. In the sixth year of Hezekiah," that is in the ninth year of Hoshea, king of Israel. They always told you who was king of both nations. "Then the king of Assyria carried Israel away captive to Assyria and put them in Halal and by the harbor, the river of Gozan, and in the city of the Medes." So the house of Israel fell because they were not doers of the word of God. In fact, they were doers exact opposite of the kingdom of God and the word of God. So we could say they sowed to the wind, but they reaped the whirlwind. So just to recap, it says they sinned against God. They walked in the statutes of the heathen. They did wrong. They built high places and set up groves and images. They obeyed not the voice of the Lord their God. They would not hear the word, and they would not do the word. So when the storms of life came, it was inevitable that that nation fell. This wasn't the first king, even though this was the last king of Israel, he wasn't the first king to act like this. The nation got worse and worse and worse until they could not withstand the storms of life. Now, in 2 Kings 18, we find the other house, the house of Judah. So let's start in verse 1, 2 Kings chapter 18. We're going to see a superbly good king. "Now it came to pass in the third year of Hoshea," which we know was the king of Israel, "that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign." Now his father was not a good king. Ahaz was not a good king, but his son was. "And he was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned 29 years. He reigned 29 years. He almost only reigned 14, but God gave him another 15 years. His mother's name was Abba, the daughter of Zechariah." Now we'll see that Hezekiah did everything right, and everything went well with he and his house. Chapter 18, verse 3 says, "And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord."
according to all that his ancestor David had done. You know, there's a scripture in the book of John where Jesus said, how can you listen to or give heed to or pay attention to those who commend themselves or who men commend? I'm sure that there were people in Israel who thought Hoshea was a great king. Probably gave him some Academy Awards or whatever awards you give kings. But it doesn't matter, it's what you do right in the sight of God. Everybody has an opinion, but only God's opinion is right. So he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to what his ancestor or his father David had done. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Then it says he followed the example of David. So we could say he built his house on the rock. Verse 4 says he removed the high place. See, his father had allowed all that junk that was taking place in Israel. His father had allowed all that junk to get into Judah. But Hezekiah removed the high places. He broke the sacred pillars. He cut down the wooden images. He destroyed idol worship in Judah. I'm sure there was some that still remained that he didn't know about that was hidden. But he made it a fact that this is not what's going to take place knowingly, and it's not going to be sanctioned in Judah anymore. Or number 3, it says, he broke in pieces the bronze serpent that Moses had made. For until those days, the children of Israel burned incense to it, and they gave it a name, Nehashtan. Now, up until this time, everything that he had destroyed were things that the ites did, you know, the Canaanites and all the other ites, the Girgashites and the high places, the sacred pillars, the Baal worship, all that was foreign to the nation of Israel and had come in from the outside. But this bronze serpent, now this was something Moses had made. Now, did Moses make an idol? No. Moses didn't make an idol. You remember the story is that when they were in the wilderness, that fiery serpents, due to their sin, fiery serpents came into the camp and killed many people. And Moses cried out to God, and God said, make a brass serpent, make an image of a serpent and hold it up on a pole so that everybody can see it, because, you know, there was a lot of people. And he said, everybody who looks on the serpent shall be healed. Jesus said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so shall the Son of Man be lifted up. And everyone who looked at it were healed. But God never intended it to become an icon or an idol. But they worshiped it. Now, can you imagine, we might call it a sacred cow. I'm sure he got, let me say it this way, I'm sure he got a lot more heat breaking the serpent that Moses made than he did tearing down that which had no connection to Moses, had no connection to Israel. Verse 5 says, he trusted the Lord God of Israel. You know, people always want to compromise. I'm sure there were people who said to him, said, now Hezekiah, look, I don't think you should break that bronze serpent. It's all right. You know, after all, Moses made it. Come on, you did this and you did that and that's good. But you've gone too far, Hezekiah. But he trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any who were before him.
I'd like to let you know once more that we're having healing school. What is healing school? Healing school is where we convince you from the Word of God that it's God's will to heal you. Once you were convinced that it was God's will to save you, you got saved. When you're convinced it's God's will to heal you, then you can get healed. Sickness is not from God. Sickness is not God's will. Contrary to the cover of a Time magazine, I remember seeing it personally in the 1960s. I remember seeing a Time magazine cover, a black cover with red letters, said, God is dead. Well, God is not dead, but most churches think God is dead. I shouldn't say most, many churches act like God is dead. They say God doesn't heal anymore. Well, if God doesn't heal anymore, then God is a liar or God is dead. You say, how can you say that? Well, because the Bible said, God clearly said, I am. Not only is am present tense, God is always present tense. He said, I am the Lord your healer. He doesn't change. Everybody knows God doesn't change. So if God doesn't change, then healing hasn't changed. What has changed is the teaching of the church that has destroyed faith. You see, we have lots of churches where there's no one in those churches that are born again because they don't preach being born again. You can go to most any mainline denomination. If they are born again, they were born again in spite of the church, not because of the church, because the church preaches nonsense. They preach social programs. They don't preach the Bible. Paul told Timothy, preach the word in season and out of season. When is that? That's at all seasons. It's not the church's job to preach social issues. It's the church's job, it's the pastor's job to preach the word of God, because the word of God is the word of God. If God expected us to preach social issues, then he would have told us. But so many churches don't preach the new birth anymore. Therefore, people aren't born again. You know, I was 27 years old before I ever heard the gospel that Jesus died for my sins. I've talked to people that have been in church their whole life, denominational churches, never even heard the term born again. Well, that same thing applies to healing. We want you to know that it's God's will to heal you so that you can be healed. Because everything that God does, he does by faith. And faith comes by hearing. Is this healing school open to everyone? Absolutely. It is open to anyone and everyone because God wants anyone and everyone healed. So please come out on Thursday nights. You don't have to have been here for the first one, the second one. Every service stands on its own. We are recording these messages. Should you wish to come and you want to get the first two or something like that, that's fine. But please come. You deserve to walk in divine health. God bless you. We have a website, rockpowerchurch.com. You can also email us from that website. We're located at 3119 Southwest 30th Street. I hope to see you soon.